Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
Now, please, can you greet somebody on your left and your right? Bless the person. Don't ask questions, please. Say the word of the Lord is coming to bless you this morning. Bless somebody. Bless the person, you know. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. As our custom, when we gather on Saturday like this to teach the word of the Lord, we take the declaration of the glory of God. My favorite is Colossians chapter 1. So let's do that again today. We are reading about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once in a while, I need to remind us of this. Colossians chapter 1. We are reading from verse 12. What we are doing is declaring the glory of the Lord Jesus. Like I say all the time, Christianity is not a religion of good works. It's not in the caliber, in the same category as many other religions in the world. Sometimes they say, how can Christianity be exclusive? I say, oxygen is exclusive. And you are not angry. Do you get my point? Go and breathe nitrogen now because you are angry that oxygen. Why should you be the only one that my system can use for metabolism? Let's not be ridiculous. Some things are exclusive. Water is exclusive. There's no replacement. When I was in secondary school, they said the closest to it, I don't know whether it's still true to now, they said the closest to it was hydrogen fluoride. I don't know. But even that one is so far. All right? Water is exclusive. Nothing else can do for you what water does. Is that all right? People have said that, okay, so if I don't believe in Jesus Christ, I won't go to heaven. I don't know the heaven. Okay, see. Possibly there are many heavens, I don't know. But the one of Jesus, you can't go there. He's the one that said, I go to prepare a place for you. So if the person you are following can prepare a place, fine. I mean, are we quarreling? There's no quarrel. There's no quarrel. Whoever you are following, make sure he can prepare a place. Know somebody that is looking for a place himself. I mean, if I'm stranded at night, I will not follow strandee. Is that English correct? Somebody is also stranded. I shouldn't follow the person. I should follow the person who has a home, who has a place that can accommodate me. Don't worry, let's go now. Where would they go? Me say, they wonder. So that's what we do sometimes when we say that, why should Christianity be the only way? See, Jesus said, is the way to my Father. So anybody who can lead you to another person, follow the person. I'm just feeling sorry for you. Because I've studied religions a bit. Nobody else, I'm not aware. None of these major religions you hear in the world, none made any promise. None. Go and study. I did my studies though. All of them taught struggles, methods. Do this, do this, do this. Pray like this, this number of times, do this work, meditate like this, peradventure. What they did, or what most of them taught, and what they practice, is to give you a bargaining platform, weight, to say, I tried. But Jesus gave guarantees. If you come with me, you will be acceptable before the Father. He guaranteed it. He would say things like, I will not be ashamed of you before my Father and of his holy angels, and before his holy angels. Do you get my point? That is, he gave guarantees. He said, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. I go to prepare your own. And he said, if it were not so, I would not have told you. Let somebody else say that. Let us even assume that everybody, every one of them is telling the truth. And they can be taken at face value. Look at what they promised. There is nobody else that rose up from the dead and showed himself to his disciples as a proof. Many people didn't see Jesus rise up from the dead because he said it was a waste of time. You know he said that? He said, why did he say so? He told a parable about the rich guy and one Lazarus. You remember?
Yes, sir.
He said, if they did not believe Moses, they also would not believe if somebody were to rise up from the dead. And Lazarus, that he raised up in front of them, they sought to kill. Because as a young person, you think about, you say, why didn't Jesus just show up on the mountain, gege, and back? Just, you know, that, you all go back to that cross, then pull the nails off, pam, pam. You know, the way you see it in movies, pom, pom, and then come down gently. And then walk over to the house of Pilate, with his disciples, you know, behind him. Pilate, did I not tell you? Yes, the answer. You want to know the truth? They still would not believe. See, this one we are saying, he did enough miracles for them to believe. They did not believe. When they saw that incontrovertible one of Lazarus' raising from the dead, they decided to plot to kill Lazarus because many were now believing. Instead of it being the proof for them that this guy is real. The Roman soldier didn't see much of this. He was just on duty that day. He just saw the earthquake, saw the darkness. He saw the things that happened. He looked and said, no, this is not an ordinary fellow. This one truly is the Son of God. What the disciples are saying is not a lie. I want to assume, very likely, he went and followed the disciples. And Jesus put a blessing on you. Do you know that? Do you know that? He said, blessed are those who believe without seeing. So a man the other day used to be a pastor, then became a bishop. And then he's now a traditional worshiper somewhere in Southern Africa. And that's Eastern Southern Africa. And he speaks so eloquently. I watched a few of his interviews and I shook my head. I said, he never believed. He walked through the ranks. He did this work. You get my point? Studies and all of that. They ordained him. They promoted him. They consecrated him at the time as a bishop. He never believed. And you know all the things he was telling us that's ridiculous about Christianity. I laugh. Science is more ridiculous. He would say, who was there when Jesus was praying all by himself? How come they were able to record what he wrote? Now, let me just say another thing. Stop thinking you are too smart. Because if they wanted to deceive you, they are not so foolish to be writing things that are not believable. I don't know whether you get my point. If they write things that are truly incredulous, you should know that there must be a reason why they put it there. When they say he went by himself and he prayed alone to the Father, you say, how did they know? That's because you think you're smarter than everybody else. You think Peter was an idiot. John a fool. Do you follow my point? All those people. What is wrong with this guy? The truth is that he doesn't believe. He doesn't want to believe. Those who believe, those things are too reasonable. Jesus came after for 40 days. He told them stories. He could have told them what happened in the garden. What are you talking about? As they were leaving, when he said, you couldn't wait me for 1 hour, by the time he came, he said, sir, you were praying. These were the things I said to the Father. On the road to Emmaus, you know how long he took to explain things to them? 40 days after resurrection, he was giving lectures every day. Those disciples, that's why they could die for Christ. See, you don't understand. The Christ they knew. You have to understand, they will be eating. They'll say, well, sit properly. The Lord might come. And he used to come. I believe, I'm just conjuring what I'm about to say up. They're in their homes. They set a table. Say, leave a seat at the head. The Lord might come. How many times? You saw in the scriptures. He walked through the walls. After a while, they got accustomed to it. He was there for many weeks. Then he began to ask him questions. Okay, Lord, what's going to happen now? And then while they watched, he ascended to heaven. And before he left, he said, many will believe on account of your testimony. And 90% of the things you believe in this life is somebody's testimony. You come into my office, I'm a doctor. I tell you, this tablet will bring down your blood pressure. Don't you believe? Do you have to go to medical school to know? What am I saying? People believe every day. They believe every day. How many people have ever collected and checked the training certificate of the pilots that flew your last aircraft, the last time you traveled? No, did you ever check? People believe. So don't make it look ridiculous that I believe the testimony of people that have encountered the Lord. He said, blessed are those who believe without sin. It's the right thing to believe. That's how life is. But one thing I thank the Lord for, His matter is not a matter of being reasonable. When He sees your heart, He gives you what the Bible calls the spirit of faith. Yeah, that's what He gives, the spirit of faith. He can harden somebody's heart. I talk to a lot of people who, it seems to me, they've been hardened. And the Lord always has a reason for hardening people's hearts. One of the things He tests people with are simple things. Okay, if you do this, everybody that's related to you will be blessed. If you do this one, they will not be blessed. Their blessing will be withdrawn. But you get richer. And He's testing you. Make a choice. You decide to sacrifice 100 people for your own progress. And He will say to you, you will never believe. He issues that word. You struggle from that. You will argue. Jesus will come to you physically with holes in His hand. Pass through wall. Come out. Pass through concrete. Come out. Do everything. You will sit down there and be quoting Pythagoras for Him. You'll be quoting dead men for a man who had died and risen up as the resurrected Lord. Why? Because by Himself, He hardened your heart. That's what He's doing. See, I've already preached one message. So we can read Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'll just explain why we are Christians. We'll read from verse 12. Want to let's go? Give thanks to the Father
who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of
the saints in light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, 20, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Father, we thank You for this beautiful morning. Lord, our hearts are open to receive Your instruction. Thank You for what You have prepared. I know somebody is going to get healed. That healing will manifest this morning in Jesus' name. I know somebody will have an experience of resurrection.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Somebody will have a vision of heaven.
Amen.
Somebody will see the angels assisting him or her.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank You, Father. Now, because we know all these things, we take our declaration as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. It's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. Please sit down. Now, I want to, today again, just a short word of exhortation. Last time we talked about provoking faith for hope, right? Something like that.
Yes.
And before that, we talked about the hope, the power of hope, the power of hope. So today, I have something else I believe the Lord wants me to share with us because it stayed on my mind for a while and I couldn't shake it off. So I said, well, that means that's what we are supposed to learn. I did a series some time ago. Please, can go and get it. Learning from Moses. It's a very long one. It's pretty long. I don't think it was less than 30 messages. Yes, quite long. Yeah. In it, I had to break some series out. Like, if you check the number of the last one, you'll be fooled by the number of messages therein. The reason is because I think number 14 was taken out and was expanded into 5 messages. What I mean is that when we got to what we titled the survival and the death of Moses, we took 5 days on that alone. And we gave only one number, 14. So if you look at the main series, if you just check the last number, you'll miss that one. I think we did that like twice. I'm not so sure now. Please, if you have not, I recommend you listen to the series, especially the survival and the death of Moses, which is like 4 or 5 messages within the whole series. So the whole series is titled Learning from Moses. Just feel like recommending it this morning. Now, today I want to talk about the death of Aaron. Now, that may not be the title we'll give it, but that's what I want to talk about. I want to also learn a lesson from the death of Aaron and why you must keep your priestly garment on. Why you must keep your priestly garment on. Why you must recognize you are a priest of God. Please, let's not joke with our Christianity. I think too many people joke with it. When Jesus was complaining, if I may use the expression, the word complain, in that book of Luke chapter 16, and he talked about that the children of this age are more diligent, you know, they are more passionate in the things that are theirs than the children of light. I don't know why it's like that, but Jesus said it's like that, and we have observed it to be like that. It is sad, but that's the way it is. But didn't say that's the way it should be. He was warning us that that is what we are likely to be. So anytime Jesus gives a warning, just know what he's warning about is natural. So if you don't do anything special about that thing, you will conform to this world, to the natural thing. What he was saying is that when people have light, they tend not to be as diligent with light, as those who don't have the light are diligent with darkness. Do you understand? Yeah, that's what he was saying. And he was telling us, don't let it happen to you. We gave the example then from that Luke, when he was giving us that parable, that there are principles of making progress on this earth. There are principles for making progress on this earth. The world has its principles. And they teach them to us. And those principles feel good. Do you know why? They give us the very thing Adam was fighting for. They give us the very thing Eve was tempted to fall for. When they ate of that tree, the knowledge of good and evil. And that was independence and that was control. We like to feel we are in control. We like to have 10-year plan, and this is second year. This is what I will have accomplished, or you know, performed in the second year. By the 5th year, this will happen. By the 10th year, this is where I will get to. And when if ever happens like that, which it hardly does, trust me, it hardly does. It hardly does. Even in the world, it hardly does. So, but this person said, like during the boot camp, that young man asked me, I said, don't worry, they lied to you. Those who say those things, most of them are lying. He hardly does. But even if he does, you can't reproduce it. When he does once in a rare while like that, somebody goes out to teach other people that this is how it is done. And I keep saying, those who fail doing it don't write books. If they wrote the book, you wouldn't buy. How I tried in business using all the right principles and I failed. Why will you buy? Will you buy that? Who's trying to learn how to fail? Do you understand? So you hear voices of those that it seemed to have worked for, and you get deceived into thinking that's the way it works. Now, when people hear that, it's very nice. So they give attention to it. They go for seminars. It's the way of the world. I keep saying it. It's the way of laboring outside the garden when you have been placed under a curse. When the earth you are stepping on has a curse walking against you in it. So you are taught how to struggle under a curse. Yeah. You see, please, just know that's what it is. If you fill your life with motivational books, I know you have a problem. You do. If you fill your whole shelf library with how to, and it seems to give you control. And see, the thing is that, as if you're a Christian especially, if you're an unbeliever, you will jam, and then like you have problems, you'll be frustrated. But if you're a believer, you'll be double frustrated. Because one, those principles are not supposed to be yours. Then secondly, the Lord is jealous over you. So he says, I will rule over you by force. So he starts fighting you. God said to Israel, you will know the opposition of God. So things that work normally, in your case, they will refuse to work. Because the Lord said, no, she has to know my opposition. What's wrong with this boy? He has to know my opposition. I read a lot. I observe a lot. God helped me. And I've been like that for a very long time. So, when I'm bored, I don't watch movies much. Maybe like once in a rare while. It is our brethren, Wayne Lewis and Man Zion, that give me work once in a while. Do you get my point? It's once in a rare while. Maybe in 3-6 months, I watch one movie. Okay? What do I use to entertain myself? This YouTube makes it easy. I download people that teach and they do history, documentaries, instructions, and news. All right? I try to catch up with a lot of these things. Is that okay? Now, what I'm trying to say is that for that reason, I get ideas. I get ideas a lot. Sometimes what you could do and make money and become rich. Every time I get those ideas, I calm down. I tell my wife, I don't want the Lord's opposition. He has given me a clear-cut instruction. Read your Bible, teach it, and forget it. So there's nothing wrong with things I'm saying. No. Maybe I say, if you do this. So when they tell her, so if you buy land there, I know how much you to appreciate. I just turn around like this. Not like buying land is bad. I don't want opposition. Now, I'm not saying it's like that for everybody. I don't want opposition. I don't want to tell you the story of opposition in my life, all right? I've seen the Lord say, okay, I will show you Pepe. But good, he also gave me grace. He gave me grace. I learned quick. Once I see the Pepe, I'm going back. I found that thing out. I'm talking about my own life. Now, I've told you, Christianity is very personal. The knowledge of Christ is very personal. What I mean is that God comes into your life and he knows you individually, applies your rules to you, which may not apply to other people. It has made it clear to me, look, Banky, reduce distractions. Reduce them to the barest minimum. And I say it, personally I do. If I just reduce it, I just take the Bible and read. Revelation, they seem to be struggling with each other to come out. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. So there are things I could put effort into and I know it will produce. One day, one brother, he may be watching this, one of our very good brothers, he asked me a question. Hey, sir, when are you going to do this? The response he got shocked him. I said, if you ever ask me that question again, I will never speak to you again. I said, let me tell you now. If you ever ask that question again, I will never talk to you again.
And it's a good thing he asked me to do. I said, how many things can a man be good in this life? When you move away from this, from the direction of your strength, Mike Murdock used to say, you move towards your weaknesses. I said, I can't be your Pastor Banky and be what else you are saying I should be. I understand it too. I chose not to go that way. Not because it's a bad thing, because it takes away from being what you like about me. The lost opposition. I kind of keep away from it. I help my wife, you know, with stuff. The time I sit her down, I say, sweetheart, don't drag me in. You place a curse upon what you are doing. I say, work hard to limit my helping you. Because if you keep dragging me, the Lord will destroy everything. So I'm very careful of the amount of time I give you, because it doesn't contribute anything to this, which is the primary reason you married me. It's the primary reason we packed our bags. I didn't come to Enugu to look for any other thing than to teach the gospel. Every other thing is added onto it. As soon as I came to Enugu, I went to my brethren for ordination into ministry. Yeah. As soon as I arrived, we arrived in September. By May, 1st of May, that's when we have our convention. We're ready. Guys, if I'm mistaken, then the following one. But immediately we started making preparation. Yeah. If I'm mistaken, then it's the following one. But I don't have time to clarify now. Let me just continue talking. But as soon as we entered, Enugu, yes, I remember I started writing tracts. I returned to Lagos to print them. I went to bookshops in town, one after the other, to drop the tracts. I said, if anybody buys a book, give him a copy. Anybody enters the shop, just give him one. It consumed me. All right? That's why, once in a while, no, when there's somebody like Terrell Reverend making an announcement, go to our website, we have over 1,600 messages there. There's nothing I've preached from the platform of Kingdom that's not recorded. Nothing. It's only one time, maximum two. I remember one, what happened? We finished recording to save, computer crashed. And then we didn't used to have backup. That's the only one I remember. There's a second one that may have happened. But let's not assume I know it's not up to, it's not more than three. Since 2003, we're in 2025. In almost 23 years of preaching every week for the first few months or first few years, then twice a week. Are you getting me? You can do your estimate. There is none that didn't record. None. None. And most of them are on our website. So the Lord just looked and said, Banky, this is the work I gave you to do. Don't let them give you something else. There's a problem with influence. It distracts. What I mean? It's easy for me to take advantage of the people that listen to me. Not a bad thing, really, in quotes. Not bad. Like, I'm not going to sell you poison. But I could sell you bread. Do you get my point? Yeah. I could take advantage of the fact that you're my person. And you buy my bread. I'm very careful with that. Even when my wife is doing stuff, I reduce my problem. I said, no. Nobody owes me an obligation to... Do you get my point? No. I'm very careful with that. Where I'm going is that, so I could stand here and start selling and start campaigning for candidates. I keep talking about this last election. Yeah? It was when Christians behaved the most uselessly from my experience. Pastors were on the pulpit telling us who to vote for and how to do it. See, there was an American preacher I used to listen to. He did it trying to campaign for Republican candidates. I followed him, you know, I was in his mailing group. I had to stop. I said, I beg, I didn't come here to hear political persuasions. And you know the truth? He campaigned for, what's the name, John McCain. McCain lost. He went to Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney lost. What shocked me was that this is a man that preaches Christ, doesn't bend about it. Mitt Romney is a Mormon. Now, being a Mormon is not what I want to talk about. Is that I know the way we, typical Pentecostals are. We don't believe in Mormonism. We believe they are a cult. They are Christ and our Christ. They are not the same. They don't pretend to be the same. They are God and our God. Their characteristics are very different. Their God marries, our own does not marry. Do you get my point? Their Christ and their devil are brothers. Our own, they are not. The devil we talk about, you start ranking him and comparing with Michael the Archangel and stuff like that. We know he's a bit senior to him in rank, but they are. He talk about cherubs, seraphims, and archangels. Our Christ is the image of the invisible God. Was there from the beginning. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we are very different. Yet, this man, for the first time, to my shock, he began to talk about how good Mormons are. Because Mitt Romney is a Mormon. That's what political involvement does. Preachers kept arguing with me that, you can guide people. I said, guide them on principles. And you have to now to adapt to your generation. This is politics, multi-party politics in Nigeria. Don't get this involved. All of them, everything they stood for, has scattered before their eyes. They are now fighting, even fighting the candidate they campaigned for. If you have not been watching the news, that's what is going on. I don't want to talk politics now. We are streaming. And I don't want to get into political gist. I said, okay, all the people that said, have they not all ganged up together now? They formed the party. The people you hated and the people you loved, they've come together. I said, look, what is wrong with you? Are you not following the news? So you now go and withdraw all your prophecies of before. But people took it to the pulpit. That's what I'm making. And I told them, don't. To the glory of God, I can beat my chest that I've not changed one bit of the principles I preached them. I can preach them now because I didn't attach it to personalities. I still stick with the same principles. Like I said, and I'm saying again, we can disagree on candidates, but we should be able to go to the same church and worship together and pray about the same election and the same seat of government. And be in agreement. It's the reason why I wrote the book, Let Us Agree. What I'm saying is this. This pulpit is very tempting. I use this experiment a lot of times. Let me not bore you this morning. Of course, by now, I can't catch you again. You're already used to it. So it won't work against you now. I used to do something like this. I said, everybody, please put up your hand. Not knowing what I want to do, they put up their hands. Please touch your neighbor's shoulder. Everybody, obediently, old and young will touch their neighbor's shoulder. They will continue to obey me until they attempt to do something crazy. Then they will pause, say there must be a catch. You know, they don't disobey initially. They're like, pastor is trying to do something. So as long as what I'm saying is not terrible. If I tell you, put your hands in your pocket, they will. Bring out everything that is there. Every bit, anything that is money, bring it here. I've seen it done before. I'm not saying I've seen this done before. And people who disagree with you will still obey you. It's a very powerful position. So you have to have this discipline not to misuse it. You have to be careful not to misuse your anointing. I keep telling pastors, don't sell anything. Don't do any businessman of a favor from your pulpit. I don't care how much it gives to the ministry. From behind, you are friends. You are friends with people. This is our brother is doing very well. What is manufacturing is very good. Don't say from don't say from the pulpit. The temptation will be stronger. Let's help each other. Don't say it from the pulpit. Let's help each other is good. Let's patronize each other is good. There are good things to tell brethren. This brother is not doing this. No. Not during preaching. Maybe during an announcement, somebody can say, we just want you to know one of us in the house is not doing this business. The Lord bless you as you help him. That's it. During an announcement, not in your message. And you keep taking the announcement for everybody. All of this time to say that I've had temptations. But God helping me keep overcoming them. I use that to explain something, alright? That being a believer, you're not a common person like people of the world. Your life is very personal with the Lord. I just use my life as an example. All these stories I'm telling. There are things other people do, I can't do. Not because they are bad. But because there is a specific call for each individual. And in mine, God made it clear, this is what I wanted to do with my time. Not your time. My time, because the time is God's time. So when God says, this is my time, the day you give your life to Christ, everything stopped being yours. Your hair is not your own. Seriously. These eyes, they are not yours. If you use your eye to look at bad things, the Lord will ask, God, what are you doing with my eyes? I gave you my eyes for something. Do you follow what I'm saying here? That's what a Christian... Back to what where I started that from. I started by explaining that. See, what is good in the eyes of the world generally is not good for you. The world likes to feel like they have control. They like to feel like they planned and it went the way they planned. Now, let me tell you how you know God is blessing you and how you know you have a problem. That you need to correct. If you made up your mind that maybe you learned faith early. So the second one will you marry, you say it's 25. You sat down, decided I'll marry at 25. By 32, I'll have had my last baby. Maybe a woman now. And then I'll return to school and get my master's. Then by 38, I'll have my PhD. And then this one, then you'll be talking. You follow? All right, good. Now, if it has been following like that, you're in trouble. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's very wrong. You just don't know it. How you know that you are blessed? You say you marry at 25. Nobody even chases you till you are 30. Uh-huh. Just know you are blessed. You know you are blessed. God is with you. He's helping you. Uh-huh. He's helping you. Yeah. So if I marry at 33, okay. It's a sign of blessing. No, it's not an ancestral curse. It's a blessing. That God looked at your plan and gave it a kick. Once your life has turned upside down, time to worship. Many people have not made any progress yet because they are still thinking something is wrong. They are still moaning and groaning. They are still angry. They are wondering why their faith did not work. God said, you don't get the point yet. And no, the point has not yet entered you. We'll be here for a long time. That's looking for how to remedy the mistakes. They're trying to say, how could I have fixed this thing? This was why I made the mistake. God said, no, you don't get it. One of the things I'm learning, and I thank God for, and I pray concerning, is that, Father, please help me to see your hand, even in little things. Do you know, I can make mistakes. I've learned how the mistakes will become the will of God. Yeah. Because I was a mistake. I know. I say it's the will of God. We converted it. It's called conversion. It happens. Balaam came to issue a curse. God turned it to a blessing. So how much more when I, a child of God, I just do something wrong, mistake 5 years ago. God can convert it to a blessing. Leave that in. The most interesting, very funny example, but most interesting, is David's sin. David went and killed Uriah and took Bathsheba and suffered and suffer. Oh my God, that suffering is not good. I don't want to go that direction at all. Like, but at the end of the day, Bathsheba gave birth to the only person that could take the throne. All the multitude of wives could not produce anything serious. They were producing bad. The boys were bad. I mean, when you have a son called Amnon, someone is his son. Absalom did the world a favor. If you know what I mean, you know what I mean. If you don't know what I mean, forget about it. I mean, Amnon, you're crazy. What is wrong with you? Even the Absalom himself. The Bible says that his father had never corrected him. Please, all of you, when you go home today, just correct your children for any reason. Even just find it. Just say, please, so let it be not be on record that I've never corrected you. Next time you want to bathe, pour water from the head. Just say something. Ah! So that was the problem. I don't know. It just come. Two streets of the kid. But then you flog me for what? You will do something before the end of today. Just take your punishment ahead. This is Absalom. The father had never corrected him. Let's not sit about the house of David. But the God took his error and turned it into a blessing. Few people on this earth historically has blessed you as much as Solomon. Yeah? Didn't you read the book of Proverbs? Don't you read it every day? He wrote two of the Psalms. Except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. It's a Psalm of Solomon. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? The book of Ecclesiastes is one of the best philosophy, in fact, not one, to me, is the best book on philosophy that exists, if you understand how to decode it. All because of, let's just say, grace upon somebody's sin. Literally, where that sin abounded, grace had to come and much more abound. That's who the Lord is. Sometimes I hear people talk about God, I say, you don't know him. Even God can't change. I suppose you say, even? Please, oh, when you are using your even, easier. I use my own even the other way. I say, this election, this man has won it, except God. Always add it. One man said, God does not know what you are going to do tomorrow. I say, which God? He said, why? Because he said, now I know, after Abraham sacrifice Isaac. He said, now I know you fear me. I said, oh God, it's not like that. They say, well, he was expressing himself concerning some issues. So don't say. You know, when Jesus was going to go to the cross, I was reading it this morning. If you read the account in Mark, you know the first thing he said to the Lord? He said, I know you can do everything. You can take mistakes and bless it. So I said again, I used that one to explain something about what I've noticed about my life, how God has taught me and I'm teaching people for us to understand he's very personal. Don't let the world teach you their own way. Their way is a way of operating as a person under a curse, walking on an earth that has been cursed. And it works to some extent because the Lord ordained it to work. He said, from the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. Which means if you sweat enough and sweat appropriately, you should get something. So it works doesn't mean it's not new. The Lord said it. So, but then if you're blessed, the sweating is different. In fact, the priest, and I'm going to talk about priesthood, were commanded not to wear clothes that made them sweat. The clothes had to breathe. God didn't like to see toil. Signs of toil on the people. Sweating anyhow. Not sleeping enough. Yeah, you wake up in the morning, you're tired. You haven't gotten up. Has it happened to you before? You're already tired. And you're wishing you didn't have to go out. That's one area. Anytime I get there, I get a bit uneasy. Let me tell you something about health, all right? I believe, especially as a believer, that first, generally God made us to be healthy. God didn't make a system that doesn't work. Because when I look at the heart, This is on its own. Just be beaten. Just be beaten. It's been beaten for months before you were born. It's one thing that cannot rest. If the kidneys don't work for a day, sometimes it happens. People fall sick, their kidneys shut down for 24 hours. They recover slowly over the next few days. At the end of 2 weeks, they're fully functional. Heart doesn't do that. It stops for 5 seconds, you pass out. You just pass out. You won't even know you are dying. It's your friends and relatives and the medical people that will know you are dying. You have passed out. Just 5 seconds. It doesn't beat. You pass out. It doesn't beat for 6 more minutes. You're dead. Permanently. So, you see, I know that. I'm just sitting down to explain to you that God made this body to work. He did. The human body was designed to work. But it starts failing because a curse has been placed upon it to start to wind down. So the moment the child is born, he begins to wind down. Right? The number of divisions that the cells that carry the body can do is limited. So that's the principle of aging. After a while, they don't work as well as they used to work. All right? But back to what I was saying. But I believe that as a believer, that's what the Bible calls the spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is giving life to your mortal body. He said, if Christ is in you, even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit, the same spirit that raised us from the dead, will give it life because of righteousness. He said the spirit is life, but literally what he was saying is that that spirit gives life because of righteousness. Again, please, I need to talk about righteousness again, somewhere along the line. Righteousness is not what people think. Doing right, doing good, no. Righteousness is when God speaks, I respond. That's the meaning of righteousness. Righteousness means that I do only that which he says. Somebody, one of you here, can't remember which, I think maybe it's one of my children. I think it's Victory, yes. Posted something on the status. I thought, wow, I don't know where he got it from. He said, don't be so concerned with what you see, you forget what I said. That was the Lord speaking. That don't be so overtaken by what you see, that you forget what I said. It hits me. That what God is saying is that if the whole road is flooded with water, and I saw it all, and I said, hey, so walk along that road for 2 kilometers. Don't turn back because of the flood. Keep walking. Why are you walking? The Lord said, but the circumstance, you can be, afraid, as long as you don't turn back. Why are you going? The Lord said, what if you drown? Hey, who drowned the Lord now? Let's just keep going. That's what they call righteousness. Righteousness is not, I've not ever cheated somebody. It's not. Righteousness is, he said, believe. I believe. They came to him and said, what must we do to do the works of God? He said, the work of the Lord is where it starts from. Believe on him whom the Lord has sent. And the sign you believe on him whom the Lord has sent, you start adapting your life to his word. Now, listen to this, and very important. That's one of the first functions of priesthood. Yeah, it's called an acceptable sacrifice. The reason why you are a priest is so that you can offer what? Acceptable sacrifices. Please, I'm jumping to the message already. Note that. I'll come back to it. So what I was saying, okay, is that be careful. You're a believer. The principles of this world are not your principles. They may work. They may seem to be good, but they are not yours. You have an assignment every day to be learning what are your principles. In fact, I don't know where I cited this from. So when the world, remember, okay, I was going to that Luke chapter 16, remember? So I was going to remind us. The world says this is how to prosper. It's a sweaty principle. You know what I mean by sweaty principle? From the sweat of your brow, you will eat. It's a sweaty principle. They will have testimonies to give. I used to use the testimony of Ted Turner. Was a billionaire. At the point in time, worth about $12 billion of those days. If it's today now, you'll be talking about $30 billion. Everything dropped to about 1 or 2 billion. He was the founder of CNN. Many of us know CNN. He founded CNN. He was a successful businessman, except that he was married 4 or 5 times. And the wives all testified, at least the one that testified, that he's a good man. But why are people divorcing him? Say he was not his husband. He's a good man, but not a husband. Why? The man said he worked, I remember, 24 minus 6 is what? He worked 18 hours a day. The other 6 hours included the time he talked to his wife, his children, sleep, eat. 6 hours for every other thing. Work 18 hours. Every other thing, 6 hours. That is what is called sweat. Please believe the Lord. Solomon said it is vain to rise up early, to get to bed, to go to bed late. Because this is the principle of the garden. We talked about it the other time. He gives to his beloved even while they sleep. One thing about believers is that everything you receive must be a gift. It's a gift. And I keep saying about faith, you activate these things in your life. Don't think you know how to work. So if you work very hard, take whatever came out of it as what? A gift. And there's a way people treat gifts and the reward for their labor. There are two different ways. Met a young man once, brother to one of our brethren. He says, he gave a testimony. He went into business, left school, went to go and do business. He said, now, for how hard he works to get each naira, he finds it hard to part with money because he works so hard. Yeah. So anytime he's spending money, he's seen the labor that went into it. But if you see it as a gift, you won't have that attitude. Every believer must see everything as a gift. It's not a result of your knowledge or ability to manipulate things, but it's a gift. And listen, I prayed for you that your effort will fail one day, so that you can stop trusting in your effort. It's very important that you work very hard, do everything you know. You went to business school, right? You went for training, business school, everything. They package you well. After everything, time to hammer. Everything scatters. Again, that's when you know you are blessed. If it works, you're in trouble. Self will be exalted in your life. And anytime self is exalted, it's setting you up for bigger failure. It's going to embarrass you more. One of the things the revelations Joab gave was when they had to find the sons of Ammon and the other group. Forgotten now. I don't want to spend time to open it for us. I want to use one of my favorite scriptures. He told his brother, he put his brother in charge of the other army. He broke Israel's army into two. You take charge of this, I will take charge of this. He said, the people you are fighting are too strong for you, I will come and help you. He said, if my own are too strong, you come and help me. He said, just make sure you are valiant. Show yourself courageous. For the city of our God and the people, something like that. He now ended with, may the Lord do that which is pleasing in his sight. Ah, I can't forget that thing. Christianity does not mean laziness. People think when you preach like this, that you don't do anything. No. Courage is commanded if you're a believer. Strength is commanded. You must be a strong person, a diligent person. But you must also realize, Paul plants, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase. So when increase comes, know it's a gift. When increase comes, know that it is a gift. It is not your labor. Labor is commanded. The work is commanded. Rising up to go about your business is commanded. And that's why you don't go about disobeying the command, because the command says don't rise too early and don't return too late. Because once you start doing that, you are beginning to think it is your labor. And what happens to you? God has to frustrate your work so as to bless you. God has to frustrate your work so as to bless you. Be careful. If you're a believer, you're a believer. See, please, I wish many people wouldn't believe. So that they will be okay. No, did Jesus not say, why are you looking at me like precious? What are you looking at? What did he not say? What did Jesus say? I wish you were what? Cold or hot. So, I'm in the right company. Jesus said, no, wait, let's do this thing. Either we are hot, but if we are not hot, let's just quench the fire, go cold completely. He said, this lukewarmness is the most irritating part of it. Let me tell you what lukewarm means. I'm a Christian, but I use the principles of unbelievers. Like you were saying yesterday, Reverend, that a man, a senior minister in one of our big denominations, they went to bury his father. Father was old, died. Every step of the way. Okay, let's do that. He said, no, my people said, this is how my people, he quoted my, he said, until you got angry. And this is your father's age mate. But you have to get angry. Now, excuse me, sir, which is on my people? You remember the other person you talked about? The woman? Also my people. Her husband died. Her husband was a good Christian, member of a very big church. The church people came and buried the church way. It was Elder Joe that was not giving that testimony. Yeah, the other one. You told the one of my people and the man that he himself is the elder. This one, he said that you now told the woman, see, your husband has been properly buried by brethren, believers in Christ. Now, pack yourself, pack your children, move out of the village and go. He said, no, the people, she obeyed the people until they wrecked all her savings, all the money her husband left behind. See, you cannot be pleasing people if you want to please God. See, you know, I wish we have to go back and pull back, you know, bring some of the Christianity that was taught when I was a child. That time, the Christianity was taught, you almost became obnoxious to people who are unbelievers. They hated you and people liked you like that. It's your testimony. They now hate me at home. Praise God. Now my faith is real. But now I want to blend the two. Friendship with the world. Yes, that's what we like now. We like to be friends with the world. We don't want a Christianity that shakes the table. No, we don't like it. We like Christianity where everybody likes us. Say, hey, at least are you your brother? Are you the only one that's a Christian? After your brother is also a Christian. Every time we are doing Oro in this house, he comes. Oro is Ebo. Oro Ebo. Which one now? I don't even know how to say it in common English. Olayinka, you are from that side. What was Oro? That's what it is. So anytime we are doing Oro, he comes. No, but that is Ebo now. Ebo is sacrifice. Okay, good. When we are carrying sacrifice, he comes. I like him. And he's a preacher. You are not even a preacher. They like all those people. And some of us, we like them too. Because it makes us undisturbed. So we can take chieftaincy titles and not have a problem. They sit you down and say, you are now an Ozo. And you like it too. And I'll be explaining the way. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Why are you explaining? You go explain, you go tire. Just leave the title. What is wrong with you? What are you doing with the title? Who tied to help? What are you doing with the title? Church version. Of course now. And please, church, stop that thing. No. Really, at least, I grew up in Western Nigeria. There's a particular church. I won't mention the name, but they're there. They start giving chieftaincy titles. You know, you have deacon. There is chief. Yeah, because they try to adapt so that you'll be relevant in your environment. But I realize some of those things are nothing but worldliness. Why do you need a title? If you have Christ, why do you need a title? If you have money to influence people, if you build a school in your locality, would they say we won't go there because it's not an other school? Do you get my point? If you build a church, start a fellowship, those who believe, won't they come there? What influence are you looking for? Any influence you need to use a title to get, it shows you are not ready for it yet. What's Aliko Dangote's title? Do you follow me? Are you not buying his fuel? The guy is doing his business. He's doing well in his business. So whether they gave him title, they don't give him title, it doesn't disturb you. You don't care about it. Why do you care about title? Show something's wrong with you. If I come to that town and they hear that Igwe is sick and I lay hands on him and he gets well, do I need a title? Won't he consult me every time he has to make a decision? You are bowing down for people you should be leading. They are putting leaf on your head. They're doing their incantation in Jesus' name. It's incantation. It's the same incantation. It's the same incantation. They don't change anything. But now say in Jesus' name, they sanctify idolatry. That's what we do. We sanctify idolatry. Our brother is not a chief. If they make you chief, don't tell us in church. We don't want to know. What nonsense is that? No, we became very worldly. I'm serious. The thing just crept in little by little. And look, I'm not abusing anybody. We're all together. We need to. Little by little, just creeping inside. You start feeling inferior if you don't have a title. You start feeling inferior. Please find what God wants you to do. That's another thing. You know, I said one of the sacrifices is what? Renewing the mind. You know, I talked about that just now. All right? Being different from the world is a sacrifice. We have been called to offer acceptable sacrifice. Said, don't be conformed with the world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may know that which is what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. It's one of the sacrifices that we give. What am I trying to say here? Please, don't let these things creep into us. It's very easy. It creeps in. Let's drop them. We are believers. We are not of the world. We are believers. We are not of the world. We are believers. We are not of the world. What matters to them shouldn't matter to us. Getting our validation from titles and degrees and it's not Christianity. It's not. Like I said earlier, it doesn't mean we are lazy. It doesn't mean we are idle. If I have to study, I will study. If the process of studying gives me a degree, I will collect it. Are you getting my point? But I'm not going to go and look for... In fact, this man, Jack Welch. I think it's Jack Welch. Straight from the gut. I read that book. Jack Welch. He said one day, of course, one of the greatest time waste of his life, that he thinks he wasted. He said, so they were together. One of his colleagues at work, a senior one, they called him. Maybe they came in. Oh, hey, Jack, how you doing? Then the other guy came in. Let's just call him Mike. And somebody called him Dr. Mike. Jack Welch said the thing hit him, that he sounded so nice. He went back to school to get a PhD. He studied until he got a PhD. He now said it was a waste of time, that he contributed nothing. See, for you to become a CEO in a company, you can't be a specialist in an area. You don't get it? Okay, many people don't know. General Electric, you don't need engineering skills to be the boss. You need the engineering skill to be in charge of R&D. He's an engineer. Those of you in business, you know. As you rise higher, you have to now become good with accounting. You're an engineer. But accounting must make sense to you. Like an accountant. At the same time, public relations must make sense to you. Like you are the specialist there. At the same time, marketing must make sense to you. At the same time, internal, what do you call it, HR, management of people must make sense to you. At the same time, politics must make, that is why you become a CEO. Your engineering stops middle level. So how do people become billionaires in the world today? I read one guy was analyzing the other day. It's not what they built, it's what they bought. Facebook, where does money come from now? Who knows? Instagram, they bought it. I remember they bought $1 billion. If they want to sell Instagram for you now, if you don't shell off 100 billion, they're not talking to you. Next, they took like, is it 13 thereabouts billion dollars? They bought WhatsApp. See, not nobody becomes you go innovate, you go die. Yeah. Now, listen, get my point. Again, that's why I should quickly go there. Don't make becoming rich your aim in life. Leave that thing. Kingdoms are given. If it's not given to you, again, you will die. These kingdoms are shared out. Even the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world, God shares them out. He does. Go and read your Bible. He told Nebuchadnezzar now. Nebuchadnezzar said, is this not Babylon the Great? I built by myself. I coded this. I started the business. I registered this. God just said, this guy is crazy. Show him real crazy. God took him to a place where he couldn't do anything. The business grew. Which is Babylon now. The kingdom is grew. And that God said, listen, the kingdom is mine. I give to whomsoever I wish. And the time is coming, all of everybody listen. I will pack all the kingdoms and give to Jesus Christ. Yeah. So right now, he's raising people that Jesus can rule. Because he went to take a kingdom and then return. Everything he puts in your hand now, he said, do it well. It will decide where I put it when I get back. He didn't say become the richest man in the world. Because to whom much is given? Much is required. I judge you according to what I gave you. Don't worry about it. He said, occupy with this till I come. Not the one you borrowed, not the one you went to look for, is the one I gave you. If I don't give you a grace, I don't give you an anointing, you go and borrow on that one, became great. I burn everything with fire. No, we should bear these things in mind. Kingdoms are given. And you know, when I'm talking, sometimes I run off on it. But God has given me grace to get back to where I was. I was talking about Jack Welch. That's why I went to this 5 minute talk. Jack Welch got a PhD. Then as soon as he finished, he realized that it was vanity upon vanities. All is vanity. He said to himself, it was as if I just wasted my time. And he never used the title doctor. He didn't use it. He acquired it, realized how empty it was, and dropped it. You are not in the university. What are you doing? Do you get my point? You work in a big, you know, company, General Electric. And he was working hard to become the boss. Of course, he said, like, that's why I went to the story. He had to stretch his hand to management, stretch his hand to other things. Because the PhD, they forgot it. Those who are in R&D, they can be getting PhD, postdoc, everything, and they can be looking for electron that missed his way, passing through the neutron with proton. It's fine. At the end of the day, they bring the whole thing and submit at his table. No matter what he innovated in GE, when he was the boss, you don't produce it unless he approves. The same man said he realized he did not need his PhD. So stop pushing. That's brand making. If you don't need something, stop using things to get validation. You want to write titles in front of your name. See, I worked in a place once. Okay, yeah, when I was in Lagos. I looked at the hospital letterhead. The person that was least educated had the longest degree. I won't say more than that. Yeah. Our CM did that, all you just write, you write his name, MABS, FWACP, and leave it there. I remember that the man was a pediatric surgeon. He doesn't know all this noise you're making. Well, it was not. If your baby is joined together, he will separate them. If they have this, he could do all kinds of surgery. He didn't know this long recognition. But one guy won't mention his rank there. I looked at the hospital letterhead. If you see ABC, XYZ, HIV, S, every kind of, everything, he wrote it there. Some of them are just certificate courses he went for three months. He put on there. I just say, you see, you feel inferior. You're not satisfied in yourself. That's why you just be throwing title here and there. I mean, let me preach my message. All of this, I'm just giving you words of advice as I'm talking. You're a Christian. That's the point I'm making. As a Christian, you do things differently. You reason differently. You operate differently. Don't ever forget it. Don't go out. We talked about this then. Overcoming the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's very important. I seem to be preaching that message again. Don't go out into the world, you know, trying to use the methods given to people who are operating under a curse on the earth that is not blessed. So Jesus said, learn your own. Please, I preached this about 2 weeks ago. I'm preaching again. Jesus said, learn your own. Apply yourself to that which is your own. Remember the one we said last week? On how do you make progress in life? There are three principles. We need to keep telling Christians, these are your ways. Please, if you are reading 48 Laws of Power, you are dabbling into witchcraft. And don't just think you are double and come out. The spirit will enter you. Your children will double the influence against you. You will get into your house, your children are manipulating you like this. And you know what? You will not know. They will tell them, say, let's go and tell daddy. Let's take his car. Say, ah, he won't agree. Ah, which Lord do we use? They will sell your house while you are inside. It's when the new buyers come to knock on the door for renovation. That's when you say, what are you looking for? They say, we bought the house now. Ah. I didn't sell my house. Whose signature? You will now recognize your own signature. You went to the lawyer's office, signed away your habitation. Because 48 laws of power has become 48 squared laws of power in the lives of your children. Don't dabble into witchcraft. Like I said, if you want to be a believer, be a believer. What is the law of power for Christians? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Who wants to be the greater amongst you? Must be what? The servant of all. That's the law of power. We serve Christ. We don't have time to understand laws of power. They're telling you things. You see, let me tell you. Don't listen to me. Please, again. Look, these two men at the door. All five of you. This man is weird. I couldn't even say. All five of you. If I don't preach my message today, people are not going home. Just the rest of people can go. But those are five of you there. You will stay. And you will remind me of what I wanted to preach. Don't say you don't know. Daniel knew the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. So some of you don't come and be telling me things because I have things I want to preach. I've not even gone. What are I preaching for today? It's not the garment of Aaron, the death of Aaron. Aaron now, Abby. See here talking about law of power and the two. All of them. See, they all five, they are there laughing, feeling happy, feeling blessed. But I'll be praying that Father God, let him preach his message. The Lord is good. When you go into some of those things, please be careful, brethren. There's not in this life, spirits are looking for how to enter. Yeah, they're always looking. See, sometimes I look at, okay, let me give you go abroad as an example. No, pastors in Nigeria sometimes have problems, all right? I mean, pastors chase church women and all of that. In fact, I saw Reverend Isaac Omole yesterday talking about one guy in his church that left. And then he went to one other church. Okay, he went to MFM. According to him, it's my friend's church. And they took him there. Maybe they forgot to ask, why did he leave? And they didn't ask him. And what happened was that he cautioned him about the relationship with women. Those one took him there. He started speaking, was gifted, everybody was happy. Until he started impregnating all the girls in church. I saw the message. I laughed. Now, where I'm going is this. You know, in Nigeria, how many times have you heard that the pastor was chasing church boys? It's not even, I'm not saying it doesn't ever happen, all right? But it's such a... Pastors, church boys, where there are church girls. Leave that. What are you saying now? Church boys? What is there to change in a boy? The very thought is so... No, if he comes too close, just think that he needs anointing. You lay hands on him. Because the thought is so far removed. But read American church problems. Pastors, they go on suspension for sleeping with choir leader. So like, oh, the girl was... No, it's not a girl. It's a guy that plays the keyboard. He's like, excuse me, please. Now, you're not angry with him. You're just... you're confused, like... What happened? You know, your mind, your corrupt mind, not even the church mind. The corrupt mind, like, so that choir not get babes. Do you get my point? You know, because you that's the kind of problem you are thinking of. You enter choir. And I've seen your choir, say as the girls, fine. You enter that choir. Is this bodybuilder you are chasing? You know, you're wondering. You're just wondering, how could that happen? Sometimes you hear some things, or you say, what's pastor's problem? Pastor's, no, I'm telling you, divorce his wife. Then the wife of the head deacon divorced her husband. And the two of them left the church and went to marry, and they are sweeping gutter to survive. You know, you're just looking like, excuse me. No, this is not love. This is not. You never heard that before? She hasn't heard it before. People do crazy things. Of all the women in the church. In fact, one of the ones I heard that was very annoying was that it was the deacon, he's a man, he's the pastor's wife he took. You know, when I was younger, I used to get angry. How could you? I know the vex again now. I did pity. Before, I used to be angry. Now, what do? I pity. You know why I'm saying all of these things? I told you the kind of problems we have here and the problems some people have over there. There's a reason why. Now, I'm going to borrow a funny word, all right? They are territorial spirits. The spirit is just not very... Some spirits are not very active in certain parts. That's why. I'll tell you a story. I read from one man, missionary, preacher. He said one day, he was talking with one guy, I think in church. Now listen to what I want to say carefully. And then suddenly, he had this urge, very strong urge, to hold him, a man, and kiss him right on his lips. Now he was trying to say that they would not interpret that for him as that you are gay, you are a homosexual, you are in the closet. He said, no, it's an evil spirit. Let me add my own words. It tempted me. I told him, get out from here before I send you to the lake of fire. Do you get my point? The spirits prowl around. So one hit him. Then he told him, get that from here in the name of Jesus Christ. The thing calmed down. I'm not a homosexual anything. Sometimes spirits go by. Sometimes we listen to them. It is not, you see, let me put it like this. It's not your flesh that initiated some things. It's the spirit that came by and said, has God really said? So the feeling you are having is a conversation you are having with that spirit. And you have to answer it with the word of God. Don't feel like you're an evil person. Just make sure you answer every thought with the word of God. See, you will be a married man. The spirit will come and tell you, this woman is very fine. And she will sit with you for days. I'm not trying to justify wrong thoughts. Do you get my point? I'm telling you how to answer it. Tofia, could I be teaching something? Answer it. Is somebody talking to you? You think, my feeling, you have to be true to your feeling. You are being true to evil spirits. All these people are telling you, be true to your spirit. They are being true to evil spirits. They are being true to evil spirits. They don't answer. Answer! Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed must be undefiled. Whoremongers and adulterers, God shall judge. The only way you answer evil spirits is with the word of God. You keep reciting that to yourself again and again, it will leave you alone. It will come back again after a while, the same thing. They kept coming to Jesus Christ. He kept giving them the word of God until he got to the cross. So don't forget in this life, it's not that they are calling you. That man said, that thing came upon him. He was talking to a man. Do you know? There are thoughts that have never entered my head. If anything entered my head, like that, it has to be a woman. Do you follow my point? The spirit around there is a woman's spirit now. And when I was single, it was not even an evil spirit. It was a normal spirit. We still had to... If you are single and you didn't feel like kissing a woman, you are very funny. I don't know where they gave birth to you. Your own... Even those who are doing holy straight like this, they think I'm... The way you are straightening your face... It's true. Let's be real. They can't give me wife. I kiss and die. Oh, my brother. You are suffering. Do you get my point? The Lord is good. So when the man said he had that feeling, I said, you know, I get, like what? Those people even talk to us down here. They don't talk that kind of talk. Now, you know what? I said the whole thing. Now that we have understood that they are spirits, be careful. So they're always looking for where to enter through. They enter a lot through your entertainment. Yeah. That's why I need to give you the words of Pastor Kola Iwosho. He said that whatever entertains you, enters you. Be very careful. They go a lot. That's why I went into that. Through the books you read. There are books you read just in passing. But you take 48 laws of power. And you start digesting it. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, you cannot leave that place without taking of the spirit of the age, the territorial spirit in your area. You will drink of it. That's why I told the whole story. And let me tell you something about spirit. The spirit that wants to lead you into sexual perversion does not come teaching you sexual perversion. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It comes teaching you how to make money. It comes teaching you how to have power. It does not mention sexual perversion. In fact, for many people, and please listen to me, very important, sexual perversion is a sign you drank of a spirit you're not supposed to drink of. Don't look for where you got the spirit of sexual perversion. That one comes by itself. Look for which spirit. Many people chasing money, they get it in heavy doses. Spirits of sexual immorality. It follows, but they weren't looking for money. Spirits have a way of opening doors for other spirits. You hear Jesus say that there are spirits that come and bring seven spirits more wicked than themselves. The prophet Kenneth Hagin told us a story. I've told it many times in my messages. Of the man that came to him with his wife, the woman had left, not was planning to leave. She only agreed to come, to stay with him for a few more days because he accepted to come and see this prophet. And what was the issue? He was beginning to molest small girls. And she said she knew, how she knew, I don't know, that he would soon kill one of them. Is a spirit of murder. And that they will catch him and they'll sentence him to death. She can't go through that. She said, I'm leaving now. He said, while she was speaking, while they were speaking, he suddenly, by word of knowledge, by descending of spirits, he knew there were two evil spirits resident inside him. I told them, I could cast them out. But I won't. Why won't you, sir? Say, because if I do, the way he's going, he will let them back. And when they are coming back, they'll be 14. Okay, if it's only one of them that's the lead, then you bring seven spirits more wicked, add to the one that's already there, there will now be nine. He finally cast out the evil spirit. He did. The man became free. But he gave conditions. He had to go to church. Of course, he gave his life to Christ, got baptized. He prayed for him, was filled with the Holy Spirit. The man finally went to Bible school. He said, you have to keep this spirit out. Why am I telling the story? Where did he get his spirits from? His academic books. His books. He was entrenched in studying criminal minds. While reading, they jumped into him. Please, it's not every book you buy. It's not every book you read. See, if you see a book, they are teaching you how to interpret dreams, throw it away. I don't care the pastor that wrote it, throw it away. There's no trick for interpreting dreams. Throw it away. Any book showing you how to see the future, throw it away. Any book telling you, they pop it all the time on YouTube. What were you like in your former life? Don't click on it. Just push it away. Those are doors of evil spirits into your life. Don't get involved in any of these things. Even if your young people listen, if people call a meeting on how to make money, don't go. It is forbidden for you as a young person to try and make money. You say, eh? Yes, I know what I said. As a young person, you are supposed to try and work. You are supposed to try and serve. Do you get my point? Not make money. You are forbidden. As a, God does not allow you. Your own commandment is go and work. So when they have a meeting, how do we serve our Father? Go. How do you serve your Father? Go. How to be able to wash cars in the morning and still go to school on time? Go. How to come back early, wash your mother's clothes? Go. How to be in church, be a choir member and be a prayer warrior and not fail any exam in school? Go. Sufficient unto the day is the evil there. That's your evil for that day. How to read the book and read it fast? Go. How to understand without breaking your head? Go. Those are things you should... Do you get my point? How to read Christian books and your academic books side by side and not have any conflict? Go. How to make money? I forbid you in the name of the Lord. Don't click on that link. Don't join that WhatsApp group. You are not interested. You are not. There's something that happens to me because I teach university. Usually I get into a new class, I try to teach them a number of things. And as time has been going, I've been getting older. So now I'm teaching classes which students are now younger than my children. You understand? Yeah. This happened a few days ago. I said something like, so I was trying to talk. Okay, I was teaching genetics, okay? So I was explaining some things that you don't really have many geneticists or clinical geneticists in Nigeria because, I'll just explain. And I encourage them that I think some of you should pursue that area of specialty. Of course, any specialty you're pursuing like that, there's no so-called money. There's no just want to do it and you have to do it. And I said something like, look, money is not your problem. Hey, if you see the revolt, it's reflexive, you know? They just revolt. And I told her, will you shut up? I'm your father's age. How can I be giving words of advice to your revolt? What do you know? You don't know anything. And sometimes when I'm talking, you think I'm cursing people, but I'm warning. So that's how most of you will disappear into obscurity because you're pushing money. And I'm saying it for young people, very, very careful. When they go online, how to trade crypto on the, you know, I've been telling you. I told the young people, listen, don't do things that will make you disappear into obscurity. If you are pursuing money, you will vanish. These things are gifts from God. What I was saying is that be careful of the kind of spirit that you drink of. Be very careful. Be very careful. Young people, they tell you, yeah, let's gather. How to make, don't go there. you will drink the spirit of harlotry. You won't know. See, it is not normal for a woman to be a harlot. It's very difficult. The way a woman is wired, she can't take it. To be sleeping with every man around, you have to be possessed with the spirit. Yeah. It's literal. I mean it literally. Harlotry is in the Bible. Harlotry. It usually comes from demon worship. But it's a spirit. And in every environment you live in, there are spirits running up and down. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful the kind of spirit you let into your life. That's what I'm saying. Those spirits don't come saying, I want to enter your life. They offer you something good. And that's why I just gave a few examples now. Another thing I should say, yes. I've said things now that it's easy to recognize they are not church things. Let me now tell you the one that is in church. The spirit I found around, all right? Very common amongst Christians. My wife mentioned something about it with somebody that she thinks is afflicted, all right? It's a spirit of fear. Spirit of fear. Yeah, it's very common around. Now, if you don't have it, you don't understand. I think I can give the Lord glory. The spirit seems not to be able to stay around me. Seems not to be able to hang around me. It doesn't mean I'm never afraid of anything. I'm not trying to pretend like you. Okay, let me give an example. My children have never been afraid of the dark. In fact, where's Gwenga? Gwenga is going to be a very odd fellow in the house. As a little boy, he said, hey, go to your room. The guy just looked at him, walked to the room, in the pitch dark, lie down there, put his head on his pillow, and sleep. Later, he said, wait, I told this boy to go to his room. Where is he? You now start looking for him all over the house. You open the door of the room. You don't go inside because it's too dark. You don't have, when you can't find him anywhere, you finally put on the light to look. And there he's sleeping. Now you they fear dark. These kids, all these Nigerians, you see them? They don't understand. And when they were young, one thing, my wife and I never used to discipline or to put them in order is fear. The only fear they had is of that of the rod and the staff. They comfort me. That's the one. You get what I mean? But that Ojuju will catch you. No, they never heard it. I believe my children can eat Ojuju. If they are lying down, you show up, they will chew you. Ojuju, come, sit down here. Put up your two hands, face the wall. That's what they are used to. I tell you the other day, my son came out of the house. Was it him or you? Okay, my daughter. And saw a bird dead at our door. Just stopped by. Say, hey, what killed this bird? And continue going. So this bird is dead though. She came there and put something in the car. Didn't even think anything of it. There are homes I know. All these witches, they're against us. They will. They now go to church and testify. The angel of God crushed their head. It's a bird. It's a bird. It was that I still remember. It's the way she just stepped over it. I said, oh, look at that. And just came, dropped my bag for me in the car. Very, yeah, bang, bang, nothing. I know what happened because one of my, the glass on my side of the, there's a way it catches the sun. So it reflects very well like clear sky. It's not supposed to be. There's a way, that particular one, it's just the one. So they keep running into it. They can't survive that impact. It's very, very hard because they are flying full speed. But the glass really is rather thick, so well, some have cracked, but that one hasn't cracked. But where I'm going is the fear. Remember the bad story I tell once in a while? Again, what struck me about that is the way my wife reacted. I said, oh, see bat. There was no, hey, see bat. It's like, see bat. Do you get my point? The spirit of fear. God has really helped me to a large extent. I'm not bragging on me. I'm giving the Lord praise. I don't read meaning into that. All these fetish meanings into it doesn't mean anything to me. Honestly, it doesn't mean. If you like, go and put a pot with eggs and red this thing and all of that. And my children see it. They are going to wonder, who forgot the egg here? That's what they do get my point. They're just going to wonder, what is that? And if I get there, I'm going to kick it. And like I've been telling you, and I'm not joking, it is forbidden I pray about it. The Lord doesn't want to hear me say a word of prayer for myself or my family about it. I'm allowed to pray for the confused fellow that wants to end my ministry. By the way, those of you who are waiting for those who want to end your ministry by planting calabash, don't worry. That's not how they will do it. If you're a man, there are two major ways, all right? It's money and women. Those are the things. And then tie two, that's another thing. It could promote you. You'll bring you to a college of bishops where you don't belong. Next thing you know, you're an apostle. Next thing, you're a bishop. Yeah, no, that's what happens. That's how you know your ministry is coming to an end. When you begin to mount title upon title, you're growing. Then your robe is getting bigger and bigger. Pastor, are you preaching about me? Yes, but I didn't know it was you. But now you've said that I'm talking to you. Yes, you are the one I'm talking to. And God is trying to correct you. Don't be stupid. Listen to him. That's how they end your ministry. When your robe starts changing anyhow. Some of you, that's when you now go and buy Jewish shawl, add it on top of Agbada. What kind of fashion are you doing? It's now stitch Jewish tassels to the edge of Agbada. You are spoiling African couture. Is that different? That French, couture is French, mama. You speak French? Oh, you actually speak French. Okay, you say it is couture. What do you call it? The Lord is good. You are ruining African couture. You know what I mean? You put Jewish tassel at the edge of Agbada. It's not the will of God. Our Agbada has to have embroidery. This day we use what they call it, monogramming. Yes. Yeah, we use monogramming and stuff. Don't put Jewish. Anyway, that's the sign you are losing your ministry. That's what I'm saying. Nobody. See, let me just tell you. If they put a fowl at your door against your ministry, check whether it's still warm. If it's live, that's good. You can handle that one. All right? If they kill this slaughter, they check whether it's still warm. If it's still warm, it's fresh. You can also handle that. All right? If it's cold, bury it and forget it. Don't pray. I forbid you from praying. If you can't eat it, throw it away. You get what I'm saying? If you cannot eat it, throw it away. But don't pray. You're hid in Christ with God. See, Pastor, I'm going to say something. Okay, just sit down. My life is hid with Christ in God. I'm seated in heavenly places above principalities and powers and all the works of the devil. I'm far above them in Christ Jesus. Just say that and continue your business. Is that okay? Back to what I was saying. You know, God helped me. I know where I went into that. One place where they distribute fear the most, and I forbid if you listen to me this morning from going there, is churches. Where the spirit of fear enters for the most these days is these so-called churches. Man, I was listening yesterday. Some of them, it's so sad, and they call themselves preachers. Chris, they call themselves preachers. One word, and they keep on telling stories. Please, I need to tell some of these stories to help people. Because these stories are lies. Either because they are fabricated or they are not fully told, in which critical elements are not placed inside. They've been withdrawn. I know what I'm telling you. This boy is lies. This boy is lie. They lie. You know why? Because how many of you ever read James Hadley Chase? Pork to Holo. Remember the statement he made? Give me the statement. No, pork to Holo. That is, there's just pork to Holo. When it was introduced, pork to Holo made one statement. He said, "Fear is what opens the purse of the rich." So what he did in that thing, it was to create fear. He just went around, killed a few people randomly. Rich people. They started writing letters to other rich people. Say, this guy is dead. Do you know what happened? He signs his pork to Holo. Sent $50,000. He said, fear is that which opens the purse of the rich. In church, bro, fear is what brings big offering. And the boys know. I'm sorry, but they do it. Someone got the other day, I was telling the story. I was provoked. I was angry. I told myself, God will have to restrain. Otherwise, when I see some of these boys at the airport, I will stop them. I said, why do you lie against them? And let me tell you, preachers, God is writing it down. These lies you tell, one day the cup will be full. The cup will be full. The cup will be full. I'm warning you. One day, the cup will be full. The cup will be full. You'll have told enough lies to deceive so much people that God will have to judge you publicly. They send the spirit of fear out. Oh, they do it a lot. I was watching this guy talk. And he said that, one man went somewhere one day. And then he just went for a burial. And do you know what? They buried his destiny. And as I was saying it, the trained cameramen, yes, because they were capturing the responses. As the crowd was moving. He said, now you will pray. Whenever my destiny has been buried, I said, where is the critical thing he jumped? He never told me that man was a believer. Because he was not. And that story was fabricated. It was telling the story of an unbeliever. Can they bear the destiny of unbelievers? I don't care. That's the only answer I have to give you. I don't care. And by the way, people you did not offend cannot bury your destiny. They must have a legitimate... See, putting sand, destiny is not a seed of corn. If you bury a seed of corn, it will germinate. Destiny is not a casket. It's a spiritual substance. So you cannot bury it at the gravesite. Those are just types. Do you get it? The only thing that keeps a destiny down is a constant issuing forth of divine judgment against a person. And God, being just, does not release judgment against you except it's just. That's why Solomon said, a curse causeless cannot alight. I don't know you. You want to bury my destiny? You will bury yourself there. My destiny shall arise like an eagle, thank you. Like a helium-filled balloon. It shall float, seeing that it's no longer possible for death to hold him in his power. Isn't it scriptures? So they jump the story of the part that this person is not born again. The life is not hidden in Christ. And the church rose and began to pray. You begin to pray everywhere. My destiny has been buried. It is fear. Then they start telling stories. One woman was going in the market. And the woman just said, let me help you carry your baby. So you can carry your load very well. And he helped her carry the baby. And he gave her back the baby. He had removed the future of that child. And that child could not learn anything. And then they now brought that child to me. The boy was now 10 years old. The mother now remembered that there was a day. It's all a lie. A woman who you do not know, who you never offended, cannot go randomly, pick your child in the market and take his future. It doesn't work. Even in Buddhism. It's all lies. But they tell it every day from the pulpit. And Christians go around, they become paranoid. So a Christian woman is in the mall carrying her baby and she wants to arrange her bag. And an innocent, godly grandmother Who has done Omugwo in three continents? Done in Africa? Done in North America? And done somewhere in Europe? She's experienced. You may laugh at me, but I'm very good with carrying babies. Like twins. I don't know why God didn't give me twins. I knew how to carry them. I balance them like this. It's not late. Praise God. Why are you afraid? Dami, should I tell your wife, receive it? That is good. A good woman who knows how to carry a baby just said, oh, man, let me help you. No, I don't need help. I don't need help. You start behaving like a mad person. I don't need help. Oh. I don't need help. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. Ah, the poor woman will be looking like, Kiloade, what is all this covered by the blood of Jesus? Next thing you know, you can pack your bag and your baby will fall down and injure. And what will you now say? It's a woman. It is the spirit you drank in that crusade, in that church. Now I'm going to give you a word I don't say often because I shouldn't. Nothing new, but I want to give us a commandment. If you go to a church and your pastor is always telling that story, tomorrow you will not go. Last Sunday is the last day you went. I command you by the Spirit of God. If you go, whatever your eyes see, manage it. Because those spirits will destroy you. And there's nothing the Lord will be able to do. You didn't call to him for help. You drank the spirit of fear. Why do you think Isaiah said, the Lord spoke to me with a strong hand? That is, God talks normally. This time around, he said, I warn you. Isaiah, don't call a conspiracy or a confederacy what these people call a conspiracy. What's the next line? Neither fear ye their fears. He said, the Lord spoke with mighty power. Some translations we say. King James said, with a strong hand. That is, the Lord is very concerned about what you fear. If somebody offers to help you like that, thank you, ma. Hand had the baby. Tie your wrapper well. Do everything. I said, oh, let me walk to your car. Thank you, ma. Walk nicely. She gets there. Collect your baby. Put in the car seat. And say, God bless you, ma. And drive home like somebody whose head is correct. That's how my wife, one of the family members, one day saw a cousin. Hey, how now? Long time. Where are you now? The way this girl answered, her own cousin. He said, you cannot know where I am. Brethren, I am in Enugu. Chris, where are you? In Enugu. Chris is in Enugu. Those who want to come and eat him here. If you can chew him. The guy will digest you while you are still in the air. He never chop, he never swallow you. He's already digesting you. Because greater is he that is in him than he that is in the world. That's why we're not afraid. Not because people say that. Do you know, people have accused me and other preachers that you don't know these spirits. Do I need to know them? Do I need to know them? I know who the Lord is. That's enough. Let the Lord alone be my fear. That is enough. I know what he has made me in Christ. I know where he kept me in Christ. That is what is enough. Who you want to be? See, read your Bible. The most ogbongest of all ogbonge diviners was Balaam. Balaam used to talk to animals. People said that when donkey began to speak, Balaam should have run. I said, it's because you don't know Balaam. You think he's your uncle? He's not your uncle. Balaam was Balaam. Do you know till now on this earth, there are people who talk to trees and trees answer them. What are you talking about? Donkey? Balaam talked to crickets before. You're talking about donkey. Donkey is even a higher animal. It's a mammal. And the genetic congruency between Balaam and the donkey is pretty high. Balaam had talked to crickets, had talked to birds. You think he ran because of donkey? Why do you think the donkey spoke? They've spoken before. These boys used to have conversations. Maybe some of you didn't know how powerful. Let me paint the Balaam for you. Balaam entered his shrine and God answered. People, not an evil spirit. You think he was a prophet? He wasn't. He was a diviner. Balaam entered his inner chambers and God of heaven came. I said, Balaam, who are those with you? Go and read your Bible. Few other persons had that kind of experience. The one I can tell you clearly easily is Moses. Who could predictably say, wait, let me talk to God. At that time, there were only two of them, Moses and Balaam. He came next day to them, wait again. Let me go and talk to God about it. And the Bible said, God came. Who are those men? It was not an evil spirit. It was not a lying spirit. It was God, because you can see the kind of things he said to him. The people, they are blessed. You will not say what I did not put in your mouth. Give me instructions. That's how powerful Balaam was. Yet this same Balaam came. He said, there is no enchantment against Jacob. No divination works against Israel. Who's that DBI in your village that only talks to dead? Do you know my way? Like you were saying, Elder John, your people, they say they be witch. You know, when you see witch painting face, if you see anybody painting face, doing chalk, you not get power. See, let me tell you, look, I will teach you spiritual things so that you know, you won't be confused. You see anybody wearing amulet? Eh? You not get power. If he's tying beads under the shirt, you not get power. If they hang something for neck, he not get power. In an apprentice, it's like GS2 in spiritual things. He never even passed the jump. I'm not talking about finishing university in spiritual things. I'm not talking about postgraduate before you now become a professor of juju. Please, go to Ijebuland, they will tell you something. Where is Olayinka and Dami? Dami, it looks like your Yoruba is even better than Antitaiwo's. I noticed. Antitaiwo needs redemption. She's a Biafran girl, pretending to be from Lagos. You know what they call Ajesara? You know that one? You know what's Ajesara? Good. What does Ajesara mean? Literally, you have eaten it into the body. Those that have power, they ate it into the body. They can't be tiny things you can remove. Do you get my point? So what are you afraid of? Is it one they call her that even Soludo can ban? An ethnic governor can put you out of business. You should know you are not called. An ethnic governor. He's a bandit. They say, when I put them in prison, if they are power, let them come out. That's very good. I'm telling you the truth. If you see, they are still wearing color, they are still painting this, they don't have power. Those that really have is inside them. Balaam had. Balaam just walks in. And God comes and says, what do they want? Where am I going? Yet Balaam said, nothing works against the people of God. Nothing works against the Israel of God. What are you afraid of? They bury somebody's destiny. Tell them, that's a nice story. It doesn't concern me. You know, see, before you marry, you will pray. We pray before now. It's not why you're making it look like this is when I pray. Because there was one man. His ministry was moving. They now married a witch. And then the witch just sat down and buried his ministry. It's a lie. What did I say? See, if I married you and you're a witch, I will excommunicate you from witchcraft. And if you resist me, you will die. Chicken, I'm toxic to witches. If my wife was in the coven, the day she saw me, she came out into Christ. I don't know how she did it. She had to. Because this child of God won't marry you. You go believe. I'm just joking about that. Of course, she's not a believer. But what I'm going is that why should you come and threaten a child of God with witches? What kind of nonsense thing is that? Recently, I heard the story of somebody, real story. I was telling you guys yesterday. Real, authentic story. This girl said she wanted to marry. She went to bathe somewhere. And that week, she found a man she married shortly after. The bathing worked. Except that she turned out to be the most useless wife, more useless than Jezebel on this earth. Never heard of any woman more useless than her. This is the kind of story to tell you. Because this is a story I know. I don't know the person personally, just one person removed. It's close people. Married a relative. That's how we know the story. And next question I ask is, what kind of person is he? My wife said, my husband. If you let me finish my story now. Because that was the same thing she asked when they told her the story. He said, he's a fraudster. I said, it works. I said, well, marry Ole. Doesn't make sense? Do you get my mind? The guy is the technical barrel. You know what they call a technical barrel? So, you won't come and tell me that story and use to make me afraid. Because the Bible says, the one who's pleasing to God will escape from her, but a sinner will be captured. So don't tell me to pray. All the witches in this world, they will not get me. No, I should pray. Father God, deliver me from temptation. Let me not be a sinner. Because the word of the Lord has gone forth. The sinner will be captured. But the one whose way is pleasing to the Lord will be delivered. What am I saying? You go to churches? This, they spread a spirit of fear. You start having palpitations. It's very terrible. I'm telling you the truth. I gave a word earlier. I'm saying it again. Don't go tomorrow. Have you not noticed, you that I'm talking to, you were not this afraid. Before, your wife used to go out, you didn't wonder where she went. But in the last 9 months, you're suspecting every one of her moves. Or you become afraid whether she will come back. Your own mother calls. You hesitate to answer because you don't even know why. Suddenly, she's one of the potential witches. Your sister calls you, your own blood sister. She's older than you. She could have killed you at birth. She was already 9 when you were born. And they told you that she's a witch. You know, and next thing that she calls, you are afraid. Then you are instructing your children where to go, not to go. And they've been harassing for the last 6 months. When are we going to see auntie? Because she's a very generous auntie. Anytime they go to her house, ice cream, they flow. Wicked you. Gary and granite is what you give these children. That is what you give these children. So they'll be looking forward to holiday where there will be shawarma, there will be ice cream, and then you now join the church a few months ago. Then suddenly, you are dragging your legs. You know, dragging your feet against truth is a sin. I can show you from scripture. One day, do you know one guy who dragged his hands? Not feet, hand. Who was it? You know who? Peter. Peter used to eat with the Gentile Christians. Then some people now showed up from Jerusalem. Peter, let's go and eat. I'm thinking of fasting this morning. Paul said, my friend, it's not fast. It's hypocrisy. And suddenly you are praying about whether the children should go. I know of people that keep their children away from their own spouses because their spouse has been fingered in church as a witch. When you see people behave irrationally, it's church. These churches, these false prophets, let me just give them proper words. False churches, false prophets, and false doctrines. I did a series, about 30 of them, 10 minutes each, on the error of the prophets. I addressed all these things. Please subscribe to Pastor Backing in 10. Don't let these prophets scatter your life. They give people the spirit of fear, the spirit of suspicion. They break homes. And my commandment to you today, don't let them break yours. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. Let me give you another word of God. God said, if you maintain this fear, I will have to personally destroy you. It's in scripture. It's in scripture. It's in scripture. You know what? Oswald Chambers said, no, it's not Oswald Chambers. One of the preachers said, the cure for fear is a bigger fear. So God has sent me today to put the fear of him in you. Because all the while they lied to you that God is kind and he doesn't take these things badly. So you are afraid of something else, not him. So I give you the word of the Lord. You are not to be afraid. Don't fear their fears. Otherwise, I will discipline you. I will turn my face against you. And you will wish I killed you. He told the prophet, don't be afraid of them. Otherwise, I will disgrace you before them. He said, let them go and cast a spell and kill my children. God said, how many are there? 4. I will kill 2. He said, now if I give them money now, they take away my good luck and my business will not move forward. God said, you have a house? Yes, I will kill your business and take your house and render you and your family homeless. Stop disgracing me. Either you are a Christian or you are not. How do you get around disgracing the Lord? You are afraid of a witch mother, you fear him? I've given you his word today. Say, fear me more than them, and I'm giving you a commandment. Don't fear anybody. If they give you water, drink it. Because I have said to you, and I say it again, nothing shall by any means hurt you. My son put on the status that day. Said, God says, don't focus so much on the things you see and forget the things I said. You are listening to me. There are people you have not spoken to in a long time. No, you're not angry with them. You're just afraid of them. When you move to where you are now, nobody knew. A lady of mine was going abroad. You know what they call abroad? Jakpa. Not traveling, no. Jakpa, not coming back. The mother found out, I think, 2 days or 3 days before he traveled. Yes. I'm not kidding. And when my mother heard, when she reported to my mom, yes, and it was the words he used that was so painful. He said, yes, now, I'm the witch that does not want my son to prosper. You hurt an old woman like that? Because you go to a stupid church? People take their fears of their childhood and bring it to the gospel. I've told you, when a pastor starts telling you that he's fighting demons in his sleep, say, oh God, go and sleep. I don't fight demons. It's not because you are spiritual. It's because I don't need to fight demons. They come and make the thing look like a sign of spirituality. You are sleeping. I was awake the whole night now. I was fighting them. Oh God, go and sleep. There is nothing they will do to you. Stop glorifying ignorance and this is your fake spirituality. People think it is spirituality. That their pastor is not sleeping. He's fighting demons. Are you crazy? I hear testimonies. The whole night I was fighting demons. I was fighting demons. The rest of you are sleeping now. After that meeting, you went home. I tried to sleep. They came. I was fighting. Yesterday I was asking Elder John. Elder John knows all this. Elder John knows those who are Obanji. He knows the spiritual. He knows. I said, Elder John. Where is Jonathan? Jonathan said, you have been to some of these wrestling matches. Can you tell me what they were doing? Jonathan said, you never go. I said, what are you, Elder John? He said, no. I said, yeah, Pastor, you fought. The only person in the Bible that wrestled all night. Who did he wrestle with? You want to wrestle? It's principalities and powers. It's principal. And you know the painful part? Christians think it is. You know, I see the videos. One man say, fast. They now showed you the dead body of his grandfather that he should put his hand inside and collect death sin. I said, and you collect. You are crazy. That they say his grandfather swallowed their destiny. Please, the destiny your grandfather swallowed, he can keep it. He has gone to hell with it. My destiny now is in Christ Jesus. My destiny is in Christ Jesus. My destiny is in Christ Jesus. I am what God made me in Christ Jesus. Brethren, please stop all this fake spirituality. I see them online all the time. When I began to pray, there were five demons. I was boxing there the whole night. Shame on you, Baba. Shame on you. I like the testimony of, what's the name of our guy we talked about yesterday? Lester Sombra. Real missionary. He went into the center of witchcraft. Not a joke. It was published in the newspapers the day he cast out a demon, a demon-filled, demon-possessed girl that they would wake up in the morning and see marks all over her body. She's been alone in a cell. It was a national event. When he came there, and he drove the demons out with the word. Started revival as a result in the Philippines. Go and read this book. There's a summary. Take a book like Courage to Conquer. One of these experiences, it was sleeping. It was real witchcraft, not this one that somebody touched you in the market, your something disappeared. No, I mean... No, I always like to finish that one. Please, come and touch me. Please, you know, I want you to touch me. You know why? I've prayed a prayer with the Lord, and I believe he has blessed the prayer. That if you do, your brain must disappear. I will suck out your brain through your hands. And what will I do with it? Toilet. Flush it down the water system. It's your brain. Shebi, now you bewitched. He said, how will that happen? You start forgetting. You will get dementia. 2.5 years, you die. Who killed you? Pastor Banky. Is that it? Whatever you collect from my body, if you disappear, when I see my wife, it's they come back. So all this what you are doing, just get away. Get away. If it seems to disappear, it's because she traveled. Let's sit down with witchcraft. This man, he said, his house began to vibrate. If I get the story right, you guys, please confirm it. His house began to vibrate. The evil spirit, they used to do physical things. So the whole sitting room scattered. He came out of the room, entered the sitting room, and he saw like, whether it's a vision, whether it's a real thing, saw his spirit sitting down there. Yes. You know what he did? He hissed. He said, I thought it was something important. He went back to his room. Before he went back, he said, wait, before you go, rearrange that place. And he went back to sleep. That is the kind of testimony I want to hear. That's the kind of testimony I want to hear. Please, don't believe this lie. I heard one lie yesterday, told to me by this reverend gentleman here. No, he wasn't one telling the lie. He was reporting the lie that was told to him where he was present, kind of. One man of God said, look, don't listen to Kenneth Hagin. He doesn't have the spirit of your ancestors to contend with. Yes, a man preached it. He said, you are listening to people like Chris Oyakhilome, whose father was an Assemblies of God pastor. You want to listen to our junior Israel here? His father is a pastor. His father fought the spirits in their village before he was born. He said, don't listen to them. You have to deal with your own spirits. It's all a lie. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. There is no difference. The same victory that those men born, are you getting me, of minister fathers have, is the one born of traditional worshiper fathers. After all, Billy Akoni's father was a babalawo. His brothers were initiated at an early age. He was supposed to be initiated. Now, stubbornness worry him. He gave his life to Christ. I know they do. Are you the only one? You tell you as if you. Why do you like to feel important because of demonic problems? Yeah, people wait at the badge. I was number two in the devil's kingdom. So? Do you know how many number two devil's kingdom I know? So, this is Omoba Jesu was number two. Emmanuel was number two. Olayinka was number two. Everybody was number two. Oh, sorry, not this Olayinka. It's the same deliverance in Christ. Please, it's churches now that distribute the spirit of fear. The painful part is at the end of the day, people are no more confident than before. They become more afraid. That's the number one thing now. Paranoia. They become paranoid. Things we value, like we were joking yesterday. One day, I was trying to place something in the wardrobe and it disappeared. I looked for it. Judah, you remember that day I called you? I was standing like this. It vanished. I said, if I remove my legs, I may step on it. So I stood so that I didn't live here now. I looked for this thing, looked for them for hours. Finally, after like an hour of standing, 45 minutes standing in one place, I had to move. I looked under the bed. It was a ring, so it could roll. I look everywhere, look everywhere. Finally, I gave up. I said, dear Lord, please help me find it. That minister said yesterday, they say, ah! If it's possible, they will tell you that, ah, they've taken it from you. And I said to him, yes, people have taken something from me before. I won't tell you the testimony now. But it was God himself. I just prayed. I said, Lord, if you don't want me to have this, let me know. I turned, it was gone. This one in the evening, one of my boys now came and said, please, look at what happened. He said, did you check the wardrobe you wanted to put it in? I said, I was standing in front of it. I checked it like 20 times. He said, let's check it again now. Do you know, as he opened the door, it didn't fall. My eye, you saw it. I think one angel wanted to play with me. He took it. Then when I reported him to God, he put it back. But it didn't cross my mind that one evil spirit came and collected what is mine. There's smoke. Even if there's smoke, uncle. After all, when you smoke finish, what happens? You fall into hellfire. There's nothing there. You can't harass my life. Please, brethren, don't let... I know what I'm saying. That spirit of fear is what I'm fighting. Get rid of that spirit of fear. Don't go to a church where they infuse it to you. According to Pope Tuholo, it is the way by which they open your purse. That's what makes you hooked on the church and the pastor. It is not spirituality that you are battling demons all night. You have victory in Christ Jesus. You have victory in Christ Jesus. You have victory in Christ Jesus. The same victory available to those who their fathers are ministers of the gospel, who had conquered their village idols, that same victory is available to you if you open your eyes to what God has done for you in Christ. You don't have to fight ancestral demons. Take your stand with the word of God. If the demon appears to you, and I know they appear, I'm not saying they don't. I have credible testimonies. Look them in the face and do, Say, in Christ Jesus, you have no claim on me. And turn and don't tell you, if I turn my back now, what will he do? What will he do? Maybe you don't realize they are more afraid of you than you are of them. They're just hoping that you are ignorant. The spirit of the age, I told you, is spread through all kinds of things. The painful one is this last one I mentioned. When the spirit of fear is being spread through those who claim to be ministers of the gospel. And I'm saying to you, by the Spirit of God, this is your own word, avoid them. God said, I will shut them down at the right time. But this is your own instruction. Stop listening. Once they start describing and glorifying themselves in their esoteric experiences, shut down the channel and go somewhere else. Anyone who wants to preach to you should be preaching Christ. And if you're a preacher, you do that kind of thing. You've listened to me. Don't get angry with me. There's no point. Most of you have preached longer than you. Some of these boys, I see them preach. Because you are popular doesn't... Look, listen, I started preaching as a university student. That's like 30, almost 40 years ago. Like 38 years ago. So relax, calm down. I'm not arguing with you. Have you read Triumphant Church? You have not. Emmanuel Eni, I read him. Omoba Jesu, I read him. Have I seen demons before? Why should I? Do I look like I'm looking for demons? They keep away from me. Why should I be running after them? They keep away from me. Why don't I romance with angels? Why don't I wrestle with the Lord and yield up my flesh and let him win? Let him break every bone that's in my body and rearrange it according to his pleasure. Don't glorify your demonic experiences. And you that's having visions, you should know when you are being confused. When you fast and fast and fast, Satan will talk to you. Listen, look, please, guys, give me time. Any fast you impose on yourself that includes a lot of hunger, your brain will shunt. You will see visions that are not of God. Quote me, and quote me well. There's nobody in the scriptures that went on a long fast to the extent of being that hungry that was not placed upon him by the Lord and who God did not give strength supernaturally. There's none. We have just three experiences in the Bible. Let's start with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says afterward he became hungry. For 40 days he was not. It's a spiritual experience. He was not disciplining his flesh. He wasn't. He entered into a realm, and people do enter such realms. For us believers, God, see, when he takes you in there, you won't know there's food. The 21 days fast of Daniel is not the one you are doing. He said, I didn't go for banquets, I didn't go for birthdays, I did not eat pleasant food. That's what he was saying. I had simple things to keep alive. I needed time to study and pray. That's not what you are doing. Elijah. He was tired. An angel woke him up. Arise. Eat. He ate one round and slept. The angel said, eat again. The journey is long. He ate what the Bible calls angel's food. And the Bible said he went in this, not in weakness, he went in the strength of that meal. 40 days to Horeb. Because God called him. And the longest of them all was Moses. 40 days times 2. He was high there on the mountain. In the presence of God, where life flows out of his life, where man does not need to live by bread, he doesn't even need natural water, because the glory of God is the substance that is sustaining him. His whole being is in suspended, physical body is in suspended animation, and the Lord communed with his spirit. 40 days. He was in hibernation. Then suddenly the Lord woke him up out of it. He said, down in a hurry. Your boys are misbehaving. Moses got down. He saw the evil they had done. How they had built a calf that God did not command. He laid down flat for the next 40 days and did not eat, did not drink. 80 days as a stretch. None of them did these things by their own strength. None. When you do by your own strength, the visions you see at the end is called hallucination. See, seeing visions is not new. It's called hallucination. If you go and eat certain mushrooms, you will see those visions. You take LSD, you will see. The LSD is lysergic acid dilithiamide. To let you know what I'm talking about. LSD, yeah, it's a banned substance, a drug of addiction. Very, very banned substance, a psychotropic drug. You take LSD, it's as tiny as a dot when they feed it to you. You will see things. Call them hallucinogens. This boys who go into some occult, they use them. They use them. Those who are lost in the desert, they start seeing water everywhere. The desire of their hearts crystallizes. So don't impress us with your high-sounding visions. Like Paul said, don't let anybody take you captive because of these visions they said they saw. This high-sounding revelation is everywhere now. It's the key to prominence amongst preachers. If I go online now and start telling you that I had 5 witches last week, they were in my house, and we box, I will have 1 million followers. I won't do that. I'll tell you, you have victory in Christ. You have victory in Christ. And there's no need to be afraid. Let me say it again. You have victory in Christ.
Amen.
You have victory in Christ.
Amen.
There is no need to be afraid.
Amen.
The spirit of fear that these false prophets are pushing to you, I reject it on your behalf in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, once you said amen to that, they have run away from you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You that have been held in bondage because of you were okay until you went for that meeting. Since then, you have been afraid. You receive your freedom now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Like Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He said, you have been made well. Go. Don't sin anymore. Let something worse come upon you. Now I'm giving you that same instruction. All right? Don't go to those meetings anymore. Because those spirits that they gave you will return double. Now you are free. Don't be afraid. Give a lot of thanks if you know you are free. Just give a lot of thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Give a lot of thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you.